Frequency. Frequency with Mark Farrell. WRXP New York. 101.9RXP.com.
So what can you learn from a high school dropout, a former drug addict, and someone who served prison time? A lot. My name's Mark Farrell. Welcome to Frequency on Rock 101.9 RXP. I'm talking about Randy Gage. Randy Gage is a self-made millionaire who kind of was raised on the streets and, you know, went through a little bit of trouble to get to the sort of the rainbow, so to speak. He specializes as a prosperity teacher and has been lecturing to thousands and thousands of people for the last several years. And we're talking to him today because, you know, spring is in the air, even though sometimes when you open your window, it doesn't appear to be spring. Because Mother Nature changes degrees about 20 plus or minus every day, it seems like. But we're spring cleaning in our homes, in our businesses, and you can't forget our noggin. Spring cleaning your brain. And Randy's here today to talk about how we can do that. Hey, Randy, how are you?
Hey, great to be with you today.
Well, almost with me. So talk about your past, because it's very interesting, and it certainly makes you a better person when you have any form of adversity in life. I'm a full believer in that, and you've had your fair share of it.
Yeah, I think having adversity, that builds our character, gives us new habits. It causes us to make changes and redirect.
As a high school dropout, did you feel that you were destined for failure?
I did initially. I certainly felt like there were those college degree people and people who with connections. But when I got out in the real world and began my study of prosperity, I kind of felt like it almost was an advantage to be a high school dropout.
And then talk about the time where you were, I believe, robbed and shot in the stomach.
Yeah, I was actually coming home late at night, about 3 a.m., and there was it was back in the cocaine cowboy days back in Miami, and I lived in Miami Beach, and it was a crackhead looking for his next fix, and, you know, I had a few bucks on me. I gave him the money and said, hey, you know, just take it, go on, but I didn't have enough. He wanted more, and he kept saying, come on, there's got to be more, and finally, he was holding the gun down by abdomen, and he pulled the trigger.
That last line that you said, there's got to be more, did that actually resonate with you in terms of propelling you to become a successful businessman?
Very possible, because things like that are so emotional. Mm. They're so anchored in your subconscious mind, whether you think about it or not. It's very possible that was a catalyst for things in the future.
What fueled you at such a young age to realize, you know what, I want more in life, because this is my, and I believe this is your sort of mantra in life, that everyone deserves to be rich, and if it's not obtained, it's not because of lack of opportunity.
Yeah, and I think the catalyst for me was I hated being poor. I've been poor my whole childhood, and even till the time I was 30, I struggled and scuffled, and funny, you'll see people being interviewed on TV and they'll say, you know, we were poor, but we didn't know it. And I always watch those interviews and I say, really?
Your stomach knew it.
Yeah, because I was poor and I sure knew it and I hated it. So from the time I was probably a teenager, I always said, man, well, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 35 years old.
What age did you become a millionaire?
What do you think? Exactly at 35, I made my first million. And of course, then you say, well, why didn't I say 25? You know? And I think that shows the power of the subconscious programming that, you know, Napoleon Hill, you know, what do I teach in my seminars and books and things? I'm taking principles like Napoleon Hill talked about in 1950 and just saying, how do we apply them today? And I think that's an example of how when you affirm things, they get programmed in your mind, in your subconscious mind, whether you know it or not, and they cause you to take certain actions.
Of course, we've all heard about whether it's in your personal life or professional life, have a goal, have a concrete goal, whether it's a 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plan. And we all kind of, I'd say most of us kind of brush that off saying, well, you know, who knows where I'm going to be, especially in this economy, in this, you know, landscape of uncertainty. Do you still put a lot of stock into those deadlines and criteria?
Yeah, I do, because whatever happens with the economy, whatever the government does, you don't have to let that control you. I believe you can control your own prosperity if you make that a conscious decision. So you do need that goal, that vision, because it doesn't matter what you want to do. If you're really going to do something of substance, you're going to get challenges. You're going to have obstacles, and you've got to know why you're doing it. You've got to have this compelling vision that keeps pulling you forward when you do get those obstacles or challenges.
What propelled you? I imagine just like many successful people, you got many more no's than yeses in your early stages.
Yeah, and I did have the vision like we talked about. I always said since I was probably 10 or 12, I'll be a millionaire by the time I'm 35. Had no idea how, had no strategy, but I just affirmed that. And so I as much as I was running to my vision of being a millionaire, I was running away from this reality of being sick and broke and unhealthy and unhappy. So I had both things working for me. I was running away from what I didn't like and running to what I did want.
And it sounded like it worked.
Yeah, it really did. I'm so blessed today. I live in my dream home in Miami Beach. I have a place in Sydney, wonderful people in my life, health, spiritual connection. I really have been blessed.
Now, you write about spring cleaning. We're joking in the beginning about, you know, obviously it's springtime, certain things you need to do physically around your house. Who wants to do that? But it makes you feel good. But spring cleaning your brain, you talk about three essential steps to boost your earnings. And these earnings can be broad-based.
Yeah, I think a lot of analogies like spring cleaning your house. Because what would you, the first thing you'd want to do if you clean your house is create some extra space. You want to have room for new things. And your mind is the same way. This is actually what we'd call the vacuum law of prosperity or the creativity law, where you create some space and allow new things to come in. So you get the clutter, you get the busyness out of your life, and you focus on what you really want.
How much of this is actually mental versus the actual physical space, and how much of this is something that impacts you personally?
Well, if I estimated, I'd say 90% of it is mental.
Sure.
You know, that first tip is create that extra space. You know, the second tip would be give away things that don't fit you anymore. Right? If you were cleaning your closet, you say, well, that shirt doesn't fit me anymore, or those pants don't fit me anymore. If we're going to spring clean our mind, we'd say, well, what might be the limiting beliefs that don't serve me anymore? Like I'm shy, or I'm not good enough, or you got to have money to make money, or you got to have a college degree to make money. These would all be limiting beliefs that they don't fit you anymore, so you'd give them away, just like you would some old clothes.
And Randy Gage, what advice would you say to somebody if you're not astute enough or honest enough or have the self-perception or awareness to realize what you may be lacking and or what needs to be cleaned?
Build your vision, build your dream, buy Architectural Digest magazine and look for what your dream home might be. Get the Robb Report magazine or DuPont Registry and, you know, what might your dream car be, your perfect soulmate. You know, think, what would your perfect day look like if you woke up and what kind of home would you be in? What would you be doing? What kind of work? What kind of spiritual connection? If you really see what your perfect day would look like, I think that really starts to lead you to what your perfect life would look like.
Do you find with all the people that you speak with all the lectures that you give nationally and internationally, that some people just have inability to see their shortcomings?
I think we all have blind sides, and I've done seminars, I think, in probably 60 different countries now. And
wow.
Although there's language differences and cultural differences, the basic human behavior is still the same, and it's still worthiness issues, thinking that you're not worthy of success, you don't deserve it, you know, limiting beliefs like that. And you got to blow up those beliefs and replace them with more empowering beliefs that serve you.
Now, if you didn't become a millionaire at age 35, but yet you led a comfortable life, you had a nice, safe, warm, dry roof over your head, you had some good, loving people in your life, would that be enough for you?
I don't think so, because I think one of the greatest crimes is untapped potential.
True.
Yeah, and it just that drives me crazy in myself when I think I'm capable of doing something more, and I think I'm just phoning it in, but I can't rest with that.
Understood. I mean, it's like there's so much more left in you, and why stop right now? Why stop short when you have so much to offer and or to give?
Yeah, there's so much to offer and so much to give and so much to receive. But if you just say, well, I guess I'll be happy sitting home watching TV 5 hours a day and going to Pizza Hut one night a week and, getting through the week and, that's not life. If your life is boring, it's not the life you were meant to live, I guarantee you.
Or it's the life that you choose to live. That's a different story.
Yeah, because some people are afraid to make that choice to be great, afraid to make that choice to become healthy and happy and prosperous. But if they would make that choice, they'd find out there's work, there's sacrifices, but it's so worth it. It's really so worth it.
And step number two, Randy Gage, for spring cleaning.
Well, I would say one was create the extra space. Two would be give away those things that don't fit you anymore. And then I think the third thing I would say would be organize what you have. Because, when I feel really overwhelmed and busy, I'll look, my desk is a mess. I've just got stacks of stuff. And I'll just, I'll take everything off the desk and put it on the floor, and I'll start organizing it, and I'll put everything in folders and different projects. And then I take each of the folders, and I do a to-do list. And I could have 44 items on the to-do list. It still doesn't matter. Then I feel like I'm organized. I can prioritize.
Checks and balances.
Yeah, what do I want to do first? And then it takes all that stress away, and then I get really productive again.
It's so funny, the human psyche, the act or the notion of an act is much more larger than the actual act itself in terms of completing something, like that mess on your floor. I mean, I have the same mess on my bed. It's my guest room, which is my / office, and I have my bed littered with papers. And the notion of actually taking 90 minutes to go through this and sorting through it and making it much more livable, breathable, and operational is overwhelming. But then when you actually go through it and spend that maybe even just 60 minutes, you're like, this is what I was worried about?
Yeah, because it's funny, you think you don't have time, but when you make the time to organize and prioritize, all of a sudden it opens up so much time that you didn't think you have that you now have.
And how do you apply this to today's very trying economy? I mean, you need every possible edge to get a job, keep your job, and or find a job. So I imagine every one of these personal steps will have some sort of impact to a certain extent.
Yeah, they do, because one of the most important lessons of prosperity is that every problem is an opportunity in terms of prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
So whether there's a shortage of a natural resource, whether there's a shortage of people in a profession, if there's an economic downturn in an area, any challenge. I mean, look at the greatest, wealthiest, wealthiest people in the world. A lot of times they were created in recessions or even the Great Depression, because that's when those amazing opportunities come up.
Talk about how you actually made that magic number at age 35 and became a millionaire. Were there times where you're thinking, well, I really don't think this is going to happen, or you just, maybe the steam was not in you anymore, you just kind of ran out of energy or got derailed? I mean, some of those things obviously happen all the time to many greats because, human nature and things happen that are out of your control.
Yeah, in my case, I lost everything at 30. I had a restaurant and couldn't pay the taxes, and the IRS seized it and auctioned it off. And so I did all this critical thinking. I said, my life isn't working. I kept blaming all these failures on the government and the economy and my crooked partners. And finally, I had to ask myself the question, is there one person who was always at the scene of the crime?
Well put.
Yeah, I didn't like that answer, but that was the question I needed to ask.
Good question to ask.
Yeah, because that really was the turnaround point for me. So it took me another 5 years, but once I made that realization, then the doubts kind of disappeared, and I knew, I really can make this happen. because I choose it.
Well, go back to that time after you kind of lost your shirt there, and it took you 5 years, which is actually a very short time to turn around a vision like that and become a millionaire. But how did you kind of recreate yourself and realize that, listen, you're culpable for things that happened in the past?
What I had to do was I had to spend 30 to 60. But once I made that realization, then the doubts kind of disappeared, and I knew, no, I really can make this happen because I choose it.
Well, go back to that time after you kind of lost your shirt there, and it took you 5 years, which is actually a very short time to turn around a vision like that and become a millionaire. But how did you kind of recreate yourself and realize that, listen, you're culpable for things that happened in the past?
What I had to do was I had to spend 30 to 60 minutes every morning, first thing when I woke up, in self-development, reading books like Think and Grow Rich and The Magic of Thinking Big. And I had to reprogram my whole subconscious mind because I just had this automatic failure thing where I expected bad things to happen. I expected businesses to fail. I expected, always waiting for that other shoe to drop. So I had to change my whole consciousness, and so I did that every single morning.
And what was your perspective and stance on reading books of that nature prior to your failure?
I hadn't been doing it. I didn't even know they existed early in my life. What saved me was I was a reader. I loved to read, but I grew up reading like Agatha Christie novels and science fiction. And I didn't know the books like those. I didn't even know they existed until losing everything at 30, that's what really caused me to really go and reanalyze everything. And that's when people, friends of mine said, you need some help. You should read this book or you should read that book. And that opened up a whole new world for me.
Randy, what kind of family resources did you have at a young age and or when you were 30 when you lost the business?
Well, I was I left the house when I was 15 years old because, as you mentioned earlier, I was a teenage drug addict, a teenage alcoholic. So I had a single mother who was trying to raise three kids by herself. She couldn't handle me. Of course, no one could handle me. So I was really a loner, and I was that's what I had done most of my life. So at 30 is when I recognized, you know what? I can't run the world anymore. I need to leave that job to someone else, and I need to just run my own life and work on me.
So that resounding theme was recognized at age 30, and what was that theme? It's just be a rebel, be independent, and just listen to no one else besides your own internal voice?
Well, listen to my own internal voice after I had exposed myself to some of these great thinkers like Napoleon Hill and Jim Rohn and people like that so that I could, give myself that positive programming and then reflect on it and say, okay, how do I extrapolate that? How do I apply that in my own life?
And I imagine not everything that you tried to apply worked.
No, but I think that's part of the process because mm-hmm. we're all different. But I looked at those great teachers, and that's really the work I do today. If you look, I have a YouTube channel, and the videos I put up there, I'll take something that Napoleon Hill might have wrote in 1950 and say, well, how does that apply in 2011? How does it, what's the practical application of that in today's world with the economy the way it is and programming the way it is and all of that? And I think that's where the breakthroughs really lie.
Do you believe, Randy Gage, that the shell of people, men and women, are essentially the same, but experiences sculpt us and make us who we are throughout life?
Yeah, very much so, because people ask me, a lot of interviews they'll ask me, okay, well, if there's one thing, you've been shot in a robbery, you had all these failed businesses, health challenges, negative relationships, there's one thing you could change, what would it be? And I always say, absolutely nothing.
Mm.
Yeah, because each one of those experiences caused me to go a different direction, to reevaluate, to build character, to develop skills, to become the person I needed to become. So I wouldn't change anything of those experiences.
How many times are you awestruck after giving a presentation to a large audience, whether it's in the United States or in a different country abroad, that a remark that someone made or a question someone asked of you that you never ever heard of or either pondered?
I love those kind of things because that's the kind of programs I do. I really challenge my audience. I don't tell them what to think. Some speakers like to do that and go out and say, here's these 10 things you need to know. I like to cause people to think and develop their own insights. And so those kind of questions come up. And I want at the end of that day that they say, I've never thought about that way before. And I'm the same way. They say, wow, that's a fascinating question. I need to go really explore that. And so I love getting that interaction with my audience members.
Well, it's an interesting point because as much as you want your attendees to walk away thinking about, wow, what Randy said is pretty compelling, pretty profound stuff. If you get the same emotion and or thought process walking away, then both of you are well served because the next audience that you present to may be even better informed.
Oh, yeah. And same thing, you know, I have a blog on my randygage.com site, and I get hundreds of comments. And people, they'll write sometimes, I know you're going to delete this because I disagree with you, but I think you're wrong. I never delete those. I love that kind of conversation.
Sure.
You know, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Empire Avenue. I'm connecting with people all the time, and I want that discourse. I want that conversation because if it's like, you know, if everybody agreed with me on my blog, then I wouldn't need a comment section. That's why I want a comment section, because the whole idea is, again, I want to cause people to think and get that discussion going on the principles of success and prosperity, and then we're all enriched with it.
Randy Gage, address our listener who is maybe stuck in a position, a personal situation, work environment, maybe even a health situation that's within the realm of possibility for them to change because of medical and or just changing their habits, to begin a new pattern, to draw new perspectives and set new goals.
Look for limiting beliefs you may have, like money is bad, or rich people are evil, or it's spiritual to be poor. These are very common limiting beliefs. Ask yourself, do they really serve you? And of course, they don't. So then say, well, what's a belief I could replace that with? And then I would recommend doing what I did, like I say, and still do to this day, which is every morning having that self-development time, reading positive books, listening to positive audios, like your show. I mean, what a great format for people to be, challenging their thinking and moving forward in consciousness, because that's really what it's all about, is changing your consciousness.
And I imagine this is obviously a general, ambiguous question, but making it, being rich, of course, millionaire, we're putting a dollar figure on something, but everyone's going to have different descriptions and definitions for those, and they should have that definition. And when they set out to change your life, you set out to be a millionaire by the age of 35. So everyone's goals are going to be different. Do you need to be a millionaire? How about just getting a house that you can pay off in 2 or 3 years, or not have a mortgage, or being able to put your kids through college and not have to worry about, you know, borrowing from Peter, Paul, and Mary? Is that the expression, Peter, Paul, and Mary, or I'm thinking music?
Yeah,
well, you got the expression.
That's the rock station.
Exactly. Exactly. But my point is made, but, you know, what richness is to one person differs to another.
Yeah, I think it's what brings joy to your life.
Mm-hmm.
I like sports cars. I got 5 sports cars, right? There's people listening now, they could care less about cars.
Rock and roll.
They want a house in the mountains. I like a house on the beach. I'm into clothes. Other people are into this. You know, it's whatever brings joy to your life. And, you know, health is a big part of it. Spiritual connection is a part of it. But, yeah, I think it's different for everybody.
Now, have you been questioned and or qualified to say, well, you do all this spiritual seeking and self-development, et cetera, but yet you have 5 cars. Does that mean you're too materialistic?
Oh, yeah. I get that a lot. And I think that's one of those limiting beliefs. You know, I had a guy tell me, you know, the environment can't afford, because I had 3 Vipers, right? I love Vipers, so I had 3 different colors, right? So he was like, I had a few other sports cars, and he was like, the world can't afford for everybody to drive 3 Vipers. And I said, dude, I don't drive them at the same time. Right? I'm still just driving one car at a time, just like anyone else. But if you look, the, you know, back in the 70s, people were saying the whole world, all the resources will be gone. There will be garbage heaps everywhere. But you know what? Technology, which is caused by prosperity, by mm-hmm. companies going out, developing new stuff, we have learned how to harness wind and solar and get more out of the resources and develop them cheaper and make them more abundant. And that's the natural state of prosperity.
And finally, Randy Gage, do you think now, 2011, is the ideal time, more so than ever, even with the economy not obviously doing so well, to harness your dreams, if you have a well-planned, I should say, a well-planned and developed business opportunity, maybe some equity, some savings to make a well and a wise, calculated move, then there's no time like the present.
There's no time like the present. We live in the most exciting time in human history, more opportunities than ever before. You don't have to quit your job. Maybe they can keep their job and start a business on the side mm-hmm. and, you know, do it little by little. It depends. Every situation's different and how much equity they have. And, you know, talk to their financial counselor and their accountant and their banker and their family and, you know, really sort it out and do some critical thinking. But, yeah, there is no better time to be alive and to manifest prosperity than right now.
RandyGage.com. That's RandyGage.com. Thank you very much for spring cleaning my noggin. It needs probably a few different rounds of spring cleaning, but hey, it's a good start.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Are you headed to the New York City area soon for our listeners if they want to see you speak?
No, I don't have anything. I've got so much overseas stuff this year. I'm very little in the States. I got Asia and Russia and everywhere else, South America, but I don't have anything in New York anytime soon.
Oh, very good for your frequent flyer mileage.
You ain't kidding about that. I got a million miles in a couple different accounts.
Thanks for your time today, Randy.
All right. Thanks for having me.